So that would be one way to approach it that you feel is very effective. This other protocol that you have established is another great way to approach it. Are there people that are in agreement or disagreement with you that you like disagreement in particular that you respect and you see some merit in what they're saying?
Well, the disagreement would be don't treat patients.
That's it.
Think about it. Well, when I published the paper in the American Journal of Medicine, so I was the first person in the world to put a stake in the ground saying that we can treat COVID-19 at home and prevent hospitalization.
Has anyone said to you, don't treat patients? I mean, so...
The letters of the editor came in, Joe. There was about six of them. They came in from Duke, from Monash, from I think McGill in Montreal, from Europe, South America. They said, Dr. McCullough, you can't treat COVID patients. I was like, what? They said, you can't treat... You don't have enough evidence. You can't do this. You could cause harm. And I, you know, my, I, at the, well, you know, Joe Alpert, who's the editor of American Journal of Medicine, he let this go on. Every letter came back and I said, overcome your fear and let's break the grip of therapeutic nihilism and let's start treating patients to prevent hospitalization and death. And in our circles, there is no discussion. You know, I was in the endowed lecture at Harvard 2 years ago. It's fanfare, me and my wife, all these pictures, everything's wonderful. Do you know not a single institution has invited me to lecture on the early treatment of COVID-19? Remember, Harvard doesn't treat people. Neither is Mayo Clinic. Neither is UCLA. Neither is the medical school here in Austin. They don't treat a single patient. They have nothing to offer. When Didier Raoult set up his treatment program in Marseille, he put out tents outside the medical center there. They tried to shut him down. He goes, listen, I'm going to treat patients because they're sick. They have, you know, Marseille, if you've ever been there, it's all these retired older French citizens, you know, pretty well-to-do. They're down on the French Riviera. They were getting sick with COVID-19. He opened up an outpatient treatment center, and he started treating people and started gathering his data. They tried to shut him down. They took hydroxychloroquine. They made it over the counter. If he was, you know, there's been doctors. There was a doctor arrested in South Africa for using ivermectin, for crying out loud. You know, this is, there has been suppression. And where we know things really got obtuse is when we came to the monoclonal antibodies. These monoclonal antibodies, they really work. And let me tell you what, we've got three terrific ones now. We have Lilly is back with a combination of bamlanivimab and urtasivimab, which is wonderful. We have Regeneron, which Trump received, which is a combination of imdivimab and carisivimab. And now GSK, since May, has sotrovimab. Sotrovimab is actually antibodies directed against the glycoprotein, so it's going to be basically resistant to any mutant strains. These antibodies in general, all the studies show, given early, have at least a 50%, if not an 85% reduction in hospitalization and death.
I took them.
I use them every day, Joe.
Yeah, I took it when I got sick, and I think it's one of the primary reasons why I got better so quickly.
And you got, and what Aaron Rodgers got, and what President Trump got, is basically how I drew it up for America and the world. And you know that science is going the right way when people like myself and Pierre Corey and Didier Raoult and what have you were working independently. And we come up with the same conclusions. You know, Pierre and I did not recircle, did not actually come to much later. And that's exactly what you want to see. You want to see external validity, people working independently coming up with the same ideas.
Now, what is the resistance to the monoclonal antibodies?
The resistance has been in a sense, an opacity to them, meaning I testified in the Texas Senate in March 2021, and right ahead of me was this wonderful doctor, and she talked about her 90-year-old father who was saved by monoclonal antibodies. And I sat through 6 hours of self-congratulatory testimony by all these department heads across Texas. They were talking about hand sanitizer and doing evaluations and vaccines. I got up there. And I told Quacquart, who is the chair of the committee, who's right here in Austin, I said, where are these monoclonal antibodies? Where are they? Where is the 1-800 number so we can access these monoclonal antibodies? Where is the list of treatment centers where these monoclonal antibodies are? How come we don't have billboards up there telling the poor seniors where the monoclonal antibodies are? Do we stock these in nursing homes where people are getting sick? Do we even know? There is a hide-and-go-seek going on with these monoclonal antibodies. And I can tell you, in Florida, There's been a big push to use monoclonal antibodies, and they've had the same problem, that there was this, in a sense, lack of government prioritization for the monoclonal antibodies. When was the last time you saw a feature in the news on these monoclonal antibodies? There's no word of them. They're wonderful products. Operation Warp Speed.
Are they limited in any way?
No.
Are they limited? How are they produced?
Well, they're produced in the same technology that we would produce Humira and Remicade. All these are, they're called fully humanized monoclonal antibodies. And so they're produced in a method where once there's a fully humanized mouse and the code for an antibody is created in the mouse, that gene is transferred into what's called a Chinese hamster ovary suspension, and that actually produces massive quantities of the antibody. That's how they're all produced. And you know, anybody who's taken Humira, anybody who's taken Repatha or Praluent, they know what I'm talking about. And the point is, they're safe and effective. In medical economics in 2020, it was already disclosed in a table that we had already purchased 100 million doses of these. And we had on order 500 million doses. There are plenty of monoclonal antibodies. My point is, the governments, almost on purpose, in the local and federal state agencies, are not featuring these. And let me tell you, I gave a lecture, a symposium for doctors in Amarillo. And doctor symposium, Amarillo Country Club, within the last month, one doctor in the room was wearing a mask. None of us were wearing masks. And I went over early treatment. I went over all the science we talked about today. And he goes, listen, I'm the public health director here, and I want to tell you something, that 85% of people dying of COVID-19 in our county are unvaccinated. I wanted to make that statement. And I said, listen, you're running the monoclonal antibody program here. How many of these deaths received monoclonal antibodies? He goes, well, I don't know that. I said, listen, the vaccines aren't treatment. The vaccines aren't treatment. Monoclonal antibodies are treatment. Do you see the absurdity of this? This is the mass psychosis. He is completely and totally focused on the vaccine, yet he's got the most important tool right in front of him. What I said in the Texas Senate, I said the most important thing is the sick person right in front of you. That's it. At any given time, it's way less than 1% of people are sick with COVID-19. Focus on the sick person, and then that's how we win the battle against COVID-19.